Joss watched as the fight medic checked Clay over and decided that the man wasn't hurt badly enough to need more than first aid. He had never seen anything like that before. A fighter as experienced as Clay getting floored so fast and so easily. Fo Jai was good. Beside him, Barris stiffened, and Joss looked up to see the fearsome Fo Jai approaching, wiping his face with a towel. Seen up close, the man's features were lean and hard. His lips seemed set in an expression not quite a sneer.
"You're a Jedi," he said to Barris.
"Yes," she said,
"but not fully fledged yet."
"I am Barris Ophi, a Padawan."
Jai smiled. "Still believe in the Force?"
Barris raised an eyebrow.
"You don't?" "The Force is a tale made up by the Jedi to scare away anybody who would stand against them. Jedi are not impressive fighters. I hardly broke a sweat dropping one a while back."
"Joe-clad Danva did not use the Force when you fought him."
"So he said."
Jai shrugged, wiped his face with the towel again.
"Hot day. You look a little sweaty yourself, Jedi. Here."
He tossed the towel at her. Barris raised her hand as if to catch it. The towel stopped in midair. It hung there for maybe 2 seconds, then it dropped and landed at Barris's feet.
"The Force is real," she said mildly.
Jai laughed and shook his head.
"I've seen better illusions from traveling carnival mages, Padawan."
He turned and walked away. Joss looked at the towel, then at Barris.
"What was that about?"
"An error in judgment," Barris said. "I allowed myself to become annoyed." She shook her head. "I have so far to go." She turned and started back toward the compound. There were 4 full lifters, which meant 16 wounded troopers. 3 had died en route, and 1 was too far gone to attempt resuscitation. One of the nurses administered euthanasia, while Joss, Zan, Barris, and 3 other surgeons scrubbed up. One of the clones was covered with third-degree burns. They had to cut his armor free. He had literally been cooked by a flame projector. The condition of the remaining 11 ranged from critical to guarded and were triaged accordingly. Joss pulled on his skin gloves while Tulk briefed him on his first case. Hemorrhagic shock, multiple flechette injuries, head trauma. Joss glanced at the chrono. They were about 10 minutes into the golden hour, the time window most critical for a trooper's survival of a battlefield injury. There was no time to waste. "Okay, let's get him stabilized. He's lost a lot of blood and he's got an asteroid belt's worth of metal in his gut. Pump in some Vascolution, stat." Barris watched Joss at work for a minute, admiring his skill and quick decisions. Then she opened herself to the Force, letting it tell her where her abilities would be most needed. She felt it guide her feet toward Zan's table, where the Zabrak was working on another trooper, assisted by an FX-7 droid. "Is there a problem?" she asked.
"Take a look," he replied.
She stepped closer. The naked body lay on the table, intubated and dotted with sensor lines and drips. He did not appear wounded or injured, but the skin was a mottled purplish color. It looked like one gigantic bruise.
"He's been hit with a disruptor field," Zan said. "Bioscan shows his central nervous system's been fried. I thought we could do something, but he's past that."
"What can be done?" He shook his head.
"Nothing. We can harvest his organs, use them to patch up the next one who needs a kidney or a heart."
He started to gesture to the droid, but Barris stopped him.
"Let me try something first," she said.
Zan blinked in surprise, but stepped back, indicating the patient was hers. Barris stepped closer, hoping that her nervousness would not show. She extended her hands through the field and placed both palms on the clone trooper's chest. Then she closed her eyes and opened herself to the Force. Barris felt the palms of her hands growing warm against the trooper's belly. An unknown time later, it could have been a minute or an hour as far as she knew, she opened her eyes and lifted her hands.
"Wow,"
Zan murmured behind her. He was looking at the readout panel.
She saw that the trooper was stabilizing.
You must have been top in your class. How'd you do that?
Zan asked. I did nothing, Barris replied. The Force can heal wounds on many occasions.
Well, it sure worked on him.
Zan gestured at the panel.
Pretty impressive, Padawan.
The FX-7 guided the gurney out. By the time Zan had finished changing gloves, there was another body before him.
Stick around, he said to Barris. There's plenty more where he came from.
Seated on a bar stool, his left foot propped on a rung higher than the right foot, Zan adjusted the tuning mechanisms on his katara, bringing the strings into tune. The instrument had 8 of these, bucky fibers of varying diameters and texture, and 8 was 3 more than Zan had fingers on either hand. The first time he had seen his friend play the thing, Joss had been impressed. The Zabrak's fingers had danced nimbly up and down the instrument's fretboard, and he had now and then leaned way over and pressed his chin against the instrument, using it to fret the strings. The cavalcade of war-torn bodies had finally stopped coming nearly 5 hours after the last lifters had arrived. The anticipation in the air was almost as piquant as the ozone smell had been. People sipped drinks or inhaled vapors or chewed spice tack and watched Zan adjust the katara. At last, satisfied, he sat up a bit straighter on the stool, settled the instrument on his left leg, and nodded at the audience. I'm going to try 2 short works. The first is Borachambo's prelude to his masterwork, Dissolution by Self-Intention. The second is the fugue from Tikal Rem Ma's Insensate. Zan began plucking the strings, and the music that came from that rapport between fingers and fibers filled the cantina with a haunting melody and a counterpoint bass line that, despite Joss's gripes about how much he hated classical works, immediately swept the human into its embrace. Zan was a master musician, there was no question of that. He should have been on a concert stage on some quiet civilized world where sentient beings appreciated such artistry. His talented hands occupied creating art with Cluehorn and Omnibox instead of wielding vibroscalpels and flex clamps. Eventually, Zan reached the end of the last composition. The last clear note shivered away, and the silence was nearly absolute. Then the cantina patrons began whistling and clapping, or pounding their empty drink mugs on tabletops. Zan smiled, stood, and bowed. Den Durr was standing next to Joss, who hadn't noticed when the reporter had come in.
Your partner's good, Durr said. He could be working the classical circuit, making serious credits.
Joss nodded. Probably would be, except for this little problem called interstellar war.
Well, yes, that,